Hello and welcome to episode 188 of the 6-1 IndyCast. My name is Mike Towndrow. Tonight I am joined by Harry Lizides.
Hello there.
And Matthew Wright.
It's Harry!
It's Harry! Harry, what are you laughing about as I fix the live stream?
I always forget that you don't say like, all right, we're about to start. You're just like, all right,
I literally asked y'all if you're ready.
He said like 15 seconds before we started.
I know, but sometimes in my head, that's a precursor to the precursor. But like, are you ready? And like, yeah. I'll be like, all right.
Harry's all the right, person that needs the teaser for the teaser before the trailer.
I don't need it, but then I'm just like perpetually just like.
Harry is the target audience for Paramount Pictures trailers nowadays.
Right? Like, dun, 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 dun. Trailer.
Trailer.
Starts now. Okay, I'm ready. I clicked on this page. I wasn't ready, but now I'm ready.
Matt, two questions related to one another. Speaking of Paramount Pictures, A, are you excited for Knuckles tomorrow? Happy Knuckles Day.
I'm happy
and ready for Knuckles.
Knuckles, hell yeah. B, when do you think we're getting the Sonic trailer, my guy? People saw it at CinemaCon.
That's a good question.
Has to be soon. You know?
It's probably tomorrow.
Yeah,
would they want to overshadow tomorrow?
Or like, would they put it like at the end of the last episode of Knuckles?
Mm-hmm.
And also, then do we know Knuckles dropping all at once?
Probably. I would think so. I don't think there's any show on Paramount that does the sequential thing.
Beavis and Butthead, the new ones.
Oh yeah,
it was weekly.
That's wild.
Hmm.
It's wild that there's new Beavis and Butthead, or it's new, it's weekly.
Yes.
Or wild, it's weekly.
Yes.
Yes to both. Okay. Yo, new Beavis and Butthead, pretty good. That new series?
I haven't caught it yet.
Pretty great. Pretty great. But this is not a Beavis and Butthead podcast. It's loosely a Sonic podcast. But tonight, of course, you're listening to the 6-1 IndyCast, a weekly video game podcast amplifying the indie scene and smaller games outside of the AAA space. I should put on my glasses when I read things far away. You know what I'm saying? New episodes drop each and every Monday morning on all major podcast feeds and youtube.com/61indie. Supporters on patreon.com/61indie could tune in live as we record and gain access to Clocked Out, the IndyCast post show. But if money is tight, no worries. You still could show your support with a simple click. Wherever you're listening, go ahead and leave this podcast a review. Follow 61indie on socials. Subscribe, hit the bell on YouTube, and tell your friends all about us. Shout out to the folks supporting on Patreon: Brett Griffin, Kobe Cordis, Ellie, JC, Jill Grote, Marcus O'Neill, Nicholas Johnson, Nicole Humphrey, Play It Jason, Silkana, hello Silkana in chat, The Compound, and Cole, aka The Good Sir. Punching the mic. Not The Good Sir punching the mic, me punching the mic. I don't think Cole will ever punch me. Little bit of housekeeping. We will have news about the 6-1 Indie Showcase relatively soon. By relatively soon, maybe next week. Who's to say? Eventually. What? And now Harry's camera's all messed up on here.
No.
No, I mean, it's not bad.
It looks great on my end.
Kyle, come back. You know? Kyle, come back.
I mean, if anything, Matt's looks very grainy on my end, but.
No, it's fine on your end. It's for the people. Granted, by the time people listen to this publicly, it's not going to matter. Yeah. It's literally just for people
to do it right now.
What was doing housekeeping? Other housekeeping. Matt just dropped a fantastic review of Surmount, which is up on the website, 61indie.com. Becca's review for Sucker for Love, Date to Die For. Is that the full title? That's up on the website. And I came out of my review writing retirement to gush about Agro Crabs, Another Crab's Treasure.
You could say you came out of your shell.
I came out of my shell and I'm doing just fine. Gotta be down because I want it all.
Is Mortal Shell an indie game?
Technically.
Are you opening the door? Is, right? What's happening?
I mean, that's the blurred line of indie or double A or.
But what is an indie?
What is indie?
I mean, it's also for what, $2 to $3 right now. That's indie prices, baby.
I'm going to ask y'all a question that I asked the Indie Council last night. It's going to determine what we talk about for what we're playing next week.
Oh.
Are fan games indie games?
Yeah.
Yes.
Get ready. Next week, we'll be discussing what's the full title of this game. Dr. Robotnik's Ring Racers, which dropped last night.
I would love to know who would say no to that.
Right. I'm just making sure that we're all on the same page. I agree.
Who on the Indie Council
said no? That's chasing commercials.
Nobody said no. Nobody said no.
Okay. I'm like, who do I have to have a text conversation with via Twitter? And be like, insert council person. I have questions.
Going back to Mortal Shell. Mortal Shell published by Playstack. Playstack did publish Balatro.
Mm. Okay. For some reason, I thought it was Focus. So
what
no,
a yeah, wild that connection that could is. Be. I was not expecting that.
I know, right? What a weird publisher that is. What else do Playstack got? Last Faith.
Axolotl. One?
Axolotl, yeah.
No, that's not the Jesus one.
Oh, okay.
Quite the opposite. they did Case of Golden Idol.
Oh, okay. That's a rad combo of publishings.
Entropy Center, which I never played. Heard good things.
Me neither. It's on my wish list.
Yeah, one of these days.
Lots of games are on my wish list.
As they should, wish list indies.
And buy wish list more indies.
Eventually buy them. Y'all, I would like to talk about a thing that dropped today, and it's going to be the topic of the show. Tribeca Games. They announced their 2024 lineup. Harry, what are you already questioning me about?
No, I opened up a new tab and it was very bright. And I'm like, how do I lower the brightness?
I thought like you were about to tell me, is like, is it called Tribeca Games? It's actually this.
What is a Tribeca game?
What is a Tribeca, you know? So if you're unfamiliar, Tribeca Games is a part of the Tribeca, I guess, formerly called just the Tribeca Film Festival. Mm-hmm. I think now it's just called the Tribeca Festival. Of course, they have their kind of like landmark film festival. There's music. There is audio storytelling. There's TV stuff. And now, of course, there's games. I think the games were implemented, I believe it was around lockdown, because we covered the first one. So it must have been 2020. And I remember the first one being
Lost in Random.
Lost in Random, Kena Bridge of Spirits, Harold Halibut, Big Con.
Signalis?
Maybe Signalis, yeah. So traditionally, even from the first one, pretty top-notch lineups. Yeah, I would say the 2024 lineup, holy shit. Outstanding. Outstanding. So we'll go through these one at a time, but just to give you the rundown. Arranger, Role Puzzle Adventure, Blueprints, Dark Web Streamer, Goodnight Universe, Neva, Skate Story, Thank Goodness You're Here.
And for audio listeners, it is Blueprints, not Blueprints.
Sorry, Blue.
I just Prince. Like even spacing it out sounds like I'm saying Blueprints. I'm saying Blueprints. Blueprints.
But what I think is interesting is the I is capitalized, and I don't know if that's on purpose.
Oh. In the logo, because not in the webpage.
In the webpage, I see PR and then capital I, NCE. Like
you,
on the
you mean
the
in
splash
the logo
page? No. I can screenshot it
I don't see a capital I on here.
Let's talk about Arranger, a role-puzzling adventure. Arranger, I'll just read the description from Steam. Arranger, a role-puzzling adventure, follows the story of Gemma, a small-town misfit, on a journey of self-discovery. Venturing out beyond her stiffingly cold, cozy confines, she finds an inspiring world, but also one ruled by fear and a strange, immovable static force. Can she disrupt a culture of stagnation and find a place to fit it into? So this we originally saw, and this is, again, I should put on my glasses. That's why I'm struggling. My apologies. Developed and published by Furniture and Mattress LLC. Fantastic developer name. I think we first saw this at an Indie World. Not the one that just happened. The one before that. This is the game where playing as Gemma, you are essentially manipulating rows and columns and sliding them like slide puzzles. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much the entire environment and entire world is built around that. And you're kind of like moving around enemies, you're moving around treasure chests, you're moving around keys, whatever it may be. Something that I think all of us kind of like it perked our ears up, I feel like. Yeah, super cool to see this at Tribeca. Anybody want to jump in on Arranger? Anything you want to shout out about Arranger?
I love the art style.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'll signal out people. Matt, you go first.
Yeah, the art style here, like it reminds me, it's kind of like a painterly 90s comic book style. Almost a little bit watercolorly. Like I dig it.
Yeah, something I like also, if you go to Tribeca's page, I think it was on Tribeca's page. I forgot where I saw it, but there are scenes, I guess it's the cutscenes, like there are just scenes of just full kind of like watercolor paintings, like mm-hmm. fully formed, like character models, fully formed scenes that are outside of the typical gameplay model. So I'm really excited to see like how the story also unfolds a little bit and how they start interpreting the narrative. It being selected for Tribeca, I feel like the narrative is going to be a big part of this, and the mm-hmm. way it does tell the story is going to be a big part of this. So very excited to see a little bit more on that. Harry, what were you going to say?
Well, I'm very interested in it, that the fact that it's in Tribeca, because I was thinking of it more as a strictly gameplay based game. Like, yeah, I'm here for the game. Like, I'm here for the mechanics mm-hmm. of moving the world around. But now that it's at Tribeca, now I'm curious of like, oh, how deep is the story? Is it engaging? Is it part of the gameplay mechanics? Like, what's going on with this? So it continues to pique my interest.
Yeah. Typically not my kind of jam, like the core puzzle mechanic of it, but there are games like this and Cardo, I think, have a similar sort of vibe. Slider mm-hmm. from our from our March showcase is very similar. Mm-hmm. Even recently, Harry, the PAX East game that was showcasing, it's out already on PC. They're a part of PAX Rising because it's coming to consoles.
I don't have my notebook with me. La La Land.
Let's Revolution.
Mm. Yeah,
got, see, it. Got there. That was...
collaboration.
Nope, never mind. yeah, but tying that kind of puzzle mechanic, and hopefully it's nothing like too overwhelming, but tying that to an interesting narrative, endearing characters, should be a good time. Very excited. Indeed. Excited to hear what it gets revealed from Tribeca as well. Because even outside, like, even if developers don't have news necessarily tied to Tribeca, we'll probably learn a lot about folks who are playing it, media that attend, influencers that attend. Mm-hmm. So should be a good time. Next up, we got Blue Prince. Simon has just inherited a large estate known as Mount Holly, a location famous for... Wait, is it Mount Holly?
Yeah. As Mount Holly, a location famous for.
Okay. Gosh, that was just, it's weird. It should be MT period.
MT Holly. Period, yeah.
Anyways, Simon has just inherited a large estate known as Mount Holly, a location famous for its shifting rooms and puzzling floor plans. To him, the ever-changing nature of the house makes each day of exploration that much more exciting. Every door holds the promise of adventure and endless possibilities, as the rooms and mysteries beyond are never the same from one day to the next. I feel like this is a Matt joint.
It does. Yeah, it is. Yep.
It does.
It does.
Yeah, Matt, this reminds me of, did you ever, I forgot, did you ever play, Tartarus, you play Tartarus Key, right?
Tartarus this kind Key,
of,
yep.
This kind of, at least just by description, reminds me
just
of that.
Just more like mystery as opposed to like horror, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. This is, developed by Dagobam, but this most notably recently got a lot of hype from the Raw Fury circles. This is Raw Fury's latest project. Seems like folks are really goddamn excited for it, which, yeah, it sounds super interesting. I'm curious to see what progression feels like, what the day-to-day feels like, where, like, are we literally playing days at a time where the house keeps on moving around? Definitely feels like a Tribeca-esque joint. This gameplay heavy, but also like borders like somewhat art housey. It feels like, just from that description alone. Like, yeah, it just, I think just more mechanically, not in, I don't want to use the term interesting to the, not to like downplay the other games or anything like that, or things are not selected, but just seems intriguing in terms of like, yeah, every day is something different. And it reminds me of Shining also a little bit.
Yeah, it looks like you're
some points.
unraveling a mystery within this house, and I dig, you know, more games need to be cel-shaded. Loving the look of this game.
It reminds me of the Telltale game with the fictional characters. Wolf Among Us with the art style.
Okay.
Gotcha.
And the mystery appeal. Gotcha. Yeah, like the mystery appeal to it. The characters aren't Fable or anything, but like the art style really, it kept reminding me of that. And the fact that you're doing like a mystery solving thing is like, all right, like something's going on over here. And if it's like Gone Home, where it's just you and you're exploring an abandoned location, like it's even ramping up the suspense. And as long as there's not jump scares, I'm in for it.
Yeah, it looks like there's a little more puzzle to it. Just one of the screenshots here, like you see, like there's a key, there's gems, and another counter up at the top. So I am down for putting together mysteries and figuring out what's going on. Like, I love the was it Fireproof Games? It's not called The Box. What are the mobile games called? the mobile mystery games, escape rooms that you're like doing all these puzzles.
Layton?
The room. It's called
the room.
Ah, yes.
I love those types of games. So yes, I am into this.
We are clearly overexhausted.
It's been a weird day.
I'm on vacation mode. I don't need to be thinking right now.
Well, I don't have my Kai Kai next to me handling other things. I get all thrown off, you know? My baby boy. Kyle, come back. Next up, I was super, super stoked to see this make the cut this year. And I'm so surprised it's on this list. Dark Web Streamer from We Have Always Lived in the Forest. Become an occult streamer on a 90s dark internet in this horror RPG sim. Experience a fully procedurally generated world and endless sinister stories as you grow your stream, surf the web, perform rituals, make hard choices, manage your stats, and try to survive your increasingly haunted apartment. This first came across my desk maybe earlier in the year at some point. No, it was towards the end of last year. The main developer, I'm blanking on her name. My apologies. I think Chantel, a story came out that, and the take, you know, loosely paraphrasing, I'm sure there's a lot of details out there. Take all this with a grain of salt. Something, there was a miscommunication between her and PC Gamer where she opted in for one of the commercial spots, I believe, for the PC gaming show, but they kind of like ghosted her or something happened along the way. She kind of like went public with that story and got a lot of attention from that, and good on PC Gamer and that crew. They're fantastic. I thankfully got to chat with them almost every day. They made it right. They included her in their Most Wanted showcase. That was last November, I believe, or December. That was like kind of the game's first big platform, mainstream showing. And since then, it feels like it's just been carrying that momentum, because it is, I feel like there's not really a game like this out there, at least in our modern upcoming calendar or recently released. Of course, there are things like Matt, the game that just came out recently, the Hotline game. Home Safety Hotline.
Yes.
Like, there's things like that.
This reminds me a little bit more like, this is like the creepypasta era version of like World of Horror.
Yes, exactly. Mm. Like, I love the idea of navigating a dark web and like flat out, like I love that. Like the fact that she is just flat out mentioning all this stuff in the description makes me think there is a lot happening behind the scenes and a lot under the hood that we don't know of yet. And it is not only super intriguing, it is already horrifying to just like kind of think of what is potentially happening in this game. This is a day one. This is like one of the games where I'm like, do I try to make it out to Tribeca in early June? Like, do I make an excuse to go back home for a little bit? Cause I cannot wait to get my hands on this game. So Harry, Tribeca, this has to be number one on your list.
Yeah. This is clearly your jam. Scary. I love the vibe of it.
Yeah.
Without the horror, like the vibe of trying to figure out what's going on, what's happening with like this blogger thing. But then I see videos of like pixelated, really not pixelated, like almost high, like almost black and white video of just walking in a hallway. I'm like, absolutely not. There is no scenario because something scary is going to happen. But I think the allure and even the premise of this, where you're like just trying to figure out what's going on with this streamer person, like there's rituals, there's crafting, there's like scary things going on, and you're just kind of feeding into it as a streamer. I think that's a really cool idea where it can get real weird. And like, I hope streamers stream this so it becomes like ultra meta. Oh,
we will be streaming it. Yeah. We will definitely have stuff around it.
We'll be meta-izing this pretty well. So it's cool. I'm excited. I do find it funny that there's a world premiere tag on Tribeca. So
yeah, that's the weird thing.
I need clarification on what that means.
It could be the first time you could go hands on with it,
like live. Like, yeah, that's technically,
that's world premiere. You know, world.
That's what I was trying to figure out too. Because on Ranger, it's international premiere. Blueprints, it's North American premiere. So it's like what. What exactly is the terminology?
We put on these showcases. We know what it's like to kind of stretch definitions sometimes.
What do these say? New York premiere? Like,
hey, because it's the first time it's playable in New York. You know what I'm saying?
It's the first time it's at Pier 57.
The first time it's at Pier 57, the living room, you know? I want to skip over the next one because I want to save that for last. So let's jump to Neva.
Yeah.
Neva from Nomada Studio and of course Devolver Digital experienced the moving tale of a young woman, her lifelong bond with a magnificent wolf on a thrilling adventure through a rapidly dying world. Of course, this is the follow-up to Gris.
Gris.
Harry, go
for
it.
Be still my heart.
Unleash that magnificent wolf.
I cannot wait for this game. I was scouring the pictures, trying to see if there's any new stills. They're the same that we've already seen. But like the idea of this game keeps hitting me in such an emotional, like driven mode where this woman and then this giant wolf gets attacked. And then, you know, the wolf creature thing with like trees as antlers or something passes away in like a horrific way. But then there's a little like wolf cub that's just like, well, I'm here, what do I do? And then you just kind of carry him on and be like, all right, this is where this game starts. I'm like, oh my god, I need to play this game in a dark room, have a emotionally driven weekend where I have a moment and then, you know, move on with my life but be happy with the experience. And obviously, like, we haven't played the game, we have no idea how it plays or runs. But
well, we have a good idea because of Gris. Yeah.
If I'm hoping Gri is a test demo or a test bed of what this game is going to do, then I'm in for an emotionally driven and stunning adventure. Or even if it hits like Planet of Lana vibes like that. I thought that was a great game the other year, which I don't know what year that was. Was that 2022? Was that last year?
Last year was not 2022.
No, it came out last year. Okay, I feel better.
Yeah,
in my head, I'm like, there's no way that was 2 years ago, and it wasn't.
What's wild is their previous game, Gris, 6 years ago.
Oh, man. See, and that doesn't seem right to me because I played that for the first time like 2 or 3 years ago, and I was like, man, what a great game that was.
Dude, so like,
and I'm watching the video now, and I'm like, ooh, no, it's hitting in the feels.
Dude, Nomada Studio has been cooking. I'm very excited to see what this, we have an idea of how it's going to play, and because Gris plays fantastic, but as soon as we saw that teaser during that PlayStation showcase, immediately, like that was the highlight of that show. Maybe probably for us specifically because of what we cover on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. But what a outstanding game this already seems to be, and what a perfect fit for Tribeca.
Yeah, like this is pristine. Like
this is what I think of. Vibe. Yeah, this is what I think of when I think of Tribeca games.
Yeah. Oh.
I wonder. I recently, because I've originally played it on Switch, I recently picked up Gris on Steam for like $2. I want to replay it.
I think I will too when this starts coming up, so I can be like emotionally destroyed and then be like, yo, let's do it again. I
mean, the fact that it's at Tribeca makes me think we're going to see it at a Day of the Devs or something like that for a release date.
I just hope it doesn't
Devolver Direct.
Or you know what? Maybe it'll come out May 9th. Who knows? Like every other game.
Before we, towards the end of the show, I want to do a May 9th check-in or like a May check-in.
May-ish check-in.
Yeah, yeah. Because we learned about more dates since last week.
Yeah.
Next up, we got Skate Story.
Yeah, we do.
We goddamn got Skate Story. First off, Devolver Digital, shout out to you guys for getting two games in Tribeca. So, of course, Skate Story, Ollie, kickflip, and grind your way through the ash and smoke of the underworld as you take on a seemingly impossible quest. Skate fast to destroy demons and save other tortured souls on your journey from a fragile beginner to a hardened skater. This is by Sam Eng and Devolver Digital. We've gushed about Skate Story over and over again. Still my favorite PAX East demo from 2020. This game, at least 4 years ago at this point, the game is the EA's Skate spiritual successor that I've always wanted, except obviously you are a demon and you're going into the underworld and you are pretty much a walking disco ball. The style, the aesthetic, the vibe, everything is just chef's kiss about this goddamn video game. Sam Eng, shout out to Brooklyn, the homie, knows what he's doing, knows what's up. I'm very curious if Tribeca, and like it could not be the case anymore. I feel like every time Skate Story comes up, like I always think about my conversation with Sam and him talking about the narrative of the game. I do have to just do a quick Google because I have to remember this god's name. Yes.
Well, so, once again, here we have New York premiere. Like, didn't you see this game originally in New York?
That's, yeah, that's malarkey because we've played this game in New York,
right?
So no, I don't know. Did we play Skate Story at Play NYC? I think we played his other game at Play NYC, the Square game, the Cube game.
I would be shocked if we didn't play it.
The first time I played it was at PAX East. I think it was the only time I played it.
Like a year or two later, we did. I'll have to go back in my
Maybe it was the Play NYC where I broke my ribs and I couldn't make it.
I don't know.
When it was you and Rez.
Oh, throwback. Yeah.
So maybe it was maybe. There.
I 100% remember seeing Skate Story before Devolver Digital grabbed it. It was just by itself. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. And I remember you raving about it. Be like, yeah, it's so good. Jam's great. Like, no, yeah, so, dude. And I'm like, cool.
So when we had that conversation back in 2020, Sam described the inspirations of the narrative. It's very much a take on the Orpheus and Eurydice. Orpheus and his partner, his lover, who the lover gets trapped into the underworld and Orpheus has to propel into the like seven layers of hell in order to save her.
Oh, Dante's Inferno from EA.
Yeah, that video game. Yeah.
Oh, do you mean Sandman, the comic?
Yeah, exactly. Not Greek Which mythology. Arc?
Oh, wait. Oh, I know what you're talking. It's been so long since I read that. Never mind. Go, Mike.
Anyways. I was like, are we still riffing?
It appears that back then it is his interpretation of this Greek story. Maybe that changed, but who's to say? I would love if like he just like doesn't publicly talk about that. That'd be great. And it's just kind of like, that's what the game is. And people who are in the know, they'll know. People who are familiar with Greek mythology and those stories, they'll get that extra fulfillment. But I think it's a really cool setup for a video game that looks like this and has this kind of vibe.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts on Skate Story? I feel like I took that one over. I apologize.
No, I mean, I remember
been rooting for this game.
Yeah, this is your Neva.
This is my Neva. Honestly, I think it's been like this for a while, but like, now that Another Crab's Treasure is out, this is now back to being my most anticipated game. I can't wait. Can't wait. Next up, we got Thank Goodness You're Here from Cole Supper and published by Panic. Thank Goodness You're Here is an absurd comedy slapformer. It's a great genre. Oh my God, it's incredible. Set in the bizarre northern English town of Barnsworth. As a traveling salesman, take the time to see the sights and meet the locals who are very eager to give you a series of increasingly odd jobs. Did anyone else get to play this?
No.
I just remember the when we first saw it. But yeah, I haven't played this.
Kyle and I got to check it out. I forgot where Kyle checked it out. Maybe it was a Next Fest joint. I don't know. Anyways, really delightful. Slapformer is a funny way to say it, but really delightful adventure game where you are this little lad walking around town. I forgot how the demo started, but the cadence of the game is so brilliant where you start in a house, for example. I don't remember what the exact task is, but let's say you need your home and you need to go out to get a loaf of bread or something like that. Well, I'll use a specific example. You have to go get like a something from the butcher shop. You go to the butcher shop and all of a sudden the butcher says like, "Thank goodness you're here. We don't have enough ice," or whatever it may be. "Can you go to the deli down the street and grab ice?" You go down the street to the next character. "Thank goodness you're here. My fish order is all disgusting. Can you go figure out what's going on?" And then it's just like a constant cadence of like going from one point to the other with a character greeting you of "thank goodness you're here," presenting you with an obscene, ridiculous, hilarious, charming scenario and just going through the motions of like just trying to help all these townsfolk out. It is so English. It is so funny. It's very just like super dry, ridiculous humor. Like it feels like a BBC sitcom, and it's great. And not to mention that the aesthetic, the vibrancy, the animation work, the character model, not even character models, the character designs, like everything is so beautiful and so amazingly rendered. It feels like you are playing a coloring book, or not even a coloring book. It feels like you're playing like a children's storybook, pretty much. Like just like hyper saturated. Can't wait to play the full thing.
It definitely looks fun and pretty wholesome. Yeah. So I'm about it.
Not super wholesome. There's some stuff in this video game.
Maybe not wholesome. Maybe kooky.
Kooky is a good word.
Maybe that's a better word.
I retract my statement about storybook. It's more so that it feels like you're playing a Cartoon Network cartoon.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it feels like. Like an Adult Swim cartoon.
And be like, "Ooh, I'm raunchy." Like that's the
like vibe, it's I feel like. Looking at the GIF on the Steam page, the first GIF on the Steam page, it's one of those games of like, how the hell does this run? How the hell is this a video game? This should be an Adult Swim series. Like, I don't understand how coding works in this scenario.
I just figured out what it reminded me of. The Cartoon Network show Uncle Grandpa.
Okay.
With a goofy like, "Oh, I'm so zany." But anyway,
I remember waking up at a friend's house on the couch, and that was on the TV. I'm like, "What?"
Yeah, it's. I don't remember watching more than like a minute of it, but I'm like, "This is too wild for me."
Am I still asleep? Is this a dream? Yeah. Is this a real show?
I'm old. Next we did up. Miss one though. Is that the one you're gonna backtrack?
Yeah, I'm
on?
Going back right now. Great timing. Next up is the next game from a studio that is pretty fucking prolific nowadays. From Nice Dream Games and published by Skybound Games comes Goodnight Universe. Are y'all familiar with Nice Dream Games?
Yeah.
No?
Sick. Okay. This is the studio that created Before Your Eyes.
There we go.
Oh
yeah, I saw the face track and I'm like, let me just double check this.
Yeah, so they don't have a Steam page or anything up yet, but we did get a press release earlier today. I'm just gonna take this straight from the press release. Skybound Games and Nice Dream, the Los Angeles-based studio recently founded by the co-creators of the BAFTA award-winning Before Your Eyes, thrilled to announce their latest collaborative project, Good Night Universe. In the narrative adventure Goodnight Universe, you play as Isaac, a six-month-old baby developing mysterious psychic abilities. What you want most is to be loved and accepted by your family. I know. But a secretive tech corporation wants you for their own. The game will also feature immersive face-tracking mode, expanding on the innovative use of the camera-based technology that the team is known for. scrolling down a little bit. Yeah, now it's just as a quote, spiritual follow-up to Before Your Eyes with a sci-fi twist, Goodnight Universe will fuse impactful storytelling with mechanics that push the boundaries of interactive entertainment. The Nice Dream Team reunites numerous notable talents behind Before Your Eyes while bolstering the roster with new foundational additions to the studio's growth. I think it goes without saying. I feel like anytime we are able to talk about Before Your Eyes, we have to talk about Before Your Eyes. If y'all haven't played but why am I stuttering on Before Your Eyes? Jesus.
Because you're already getting emotional about it.
I'm already getting emotional. I'm going to take a sip.
Yeah. So yeah, that's the game where I'm just like, I already know I'm going to have an emotional moment. And
so
it's going to be the whole game.
If y'all haven't played Before Your Eyes, you have to play Before Your Eyes.
Yeah, don't Google it.
Just go in just without any knowledge of the game if you don't know anything about the game. I think with no exaggeration in my tone, it is by far one of the most profound games ever developed. I think it is a top 10, top 5. I think it is in that conversation. It is, in my mind, one of those games where somebody asked the question of like what video games could be nowadays, or is our video games art or whatever it may be? Do video games have compelling stories? Before Your Eyes checks all the boxes. Before Your Eyes is outstanding. It will fucking break you. It will fucking rip your heart out and throw it into the goddamn ocean and it'll let the sharks feed on it.
And at the end, you're going to say, thank you.
Yeah, at the end, you're going to thank Nice Dream. You're going to thank them for destroying you.
Yeah.
I don't think, aside from, because Emily is Away always did this to me, and it's irrational just because of how well Kyle Seeley is able to put you in the role-playing position. I think Before Your Eyes is probably the game that made me like cry the most, like literally like tears and sweat running down my entire face where it was uncontrollable.
I think I would agree. I'm trying to think of like, I don't know, like, Glee really hit me hard.
Yeah, Glee also, yeah. Yeah, when I think of that kind of like hard impact, like Celeste did it for me a little bit.
That'd like be I mentioned, a good list to make, like
the Emily's Away games.
Games that
obviously on the AAA side, like Last of Us, stuff like that, but of course, the Telltale Walking Deads. But yeah, Before Your Eyes is really goddamn impactful. It like, even if you don't, I don't know, even if you can't totally relate to the story, which unfortunately I was able to relate to the story, or I guess fortunately, I don't know, however you want to frame that. It will, yeah, it's one hell of a gut punch, but it's cathartic. It's like one of those cathartic experiences when you get through it. It felt like, playing it, it felt like I was really holding something back, and it helped me just like untie the knot, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like kind of like open the box a little bit, you know?
I like boxes. Compartmentalize.
Obviously, Harry, you played it. Matt, did you play Before Your Eyes?
No, I haven't.
Ooh.
Gotta do that, man.
Do it when you have like, I think it's like a 2-hour game. I don't think it's that long.
Yeah, it's short.
But like if you're having like a not great couple weeks or something, be like, I need to just get emotions out of my
body. I just need to get out, man. Need to just let everything out. Yeah.
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
Yeah. And you'll eventually like when I watch shows, I have like go to ones to be like, yeah, I'm gonna watch this whole thing and then have an emotional journey. this is one of those video games that like if I wanna have an emotional journey right now, this is what I want to play and be like wrecked and be like, yeah, thank you.
It's the game equivalent of Marley and Me.
Marley and Me. Is that the dog one?
I'm still dead inside.
Yeah, the Owen Wilson dog one.
Still dead inside from Kingdom Hearts 3. So.
Yeah, that's fine.
Oh, I like Kingdom Hearts 3.
Y'all been Nordic?
The ending.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Broke me.
Donald, no!
Yeah, sure.
and of course, Goodnight Universe is again similar to Neva. This is a Tribeca-ass game. Like that, yes, that should be displayed in front of a mainstream audience that is attending the Tribeca Festival as a whole to understand, like, hey, this is what a video game can be nowadays.
Especially with the face tracking. Like, I'm curious to see non-gamers be like, whoa, that's like, oh my God, technology has advanced so far. I'd be like, yeah, man, it's been like this for years. Where have you been?
Yeah, even with Before Your Eyes.
I've been waggling this remote.
Yeah, I mean, even Before Your Eyes. Yeah, Before Your Eyes, completely, you can play it completely without any input controller or anything like that.
Well, I think that's like, what's going to be this game. If you're playing as a 6-month-old, there's not going to be an intensive UI. It's going to be like goo gaga, putting hands around or something.
I want to go back to that terminology. What goo gaga said. Yeah, that.
Yeah.
So for Goodnight Universe, they say face tracking.
Yeah, that they say that in the PR thing too. Or I'm at least looking at the Tribeca website.
Yeah, yeah. I'm looking at the press release. I'm curious if they said something different for Before Your Eyes. Like, is it face tracking versus eye tracking? I'm curious. I don't see anything in the press release. But yeah, I'm very curious what the input is and what how that drives the story, how that drives the narrative. Yeah, I should go back and play Before Your Eyes again. I kind of want to play it without the eye tracking so I could experience like some of the other, like without spoiling anything. Yeah. I want like just to be able to fully experience some of the bits that you may have missed.
You mean you don't want to just keep your eyes open like this?
God, I'll never forget, like, I played it, like, I think I started at midnight for some reason, and
that's a poor choice.
Eyes were already shot, and, like, I'll never forget, like, literally doing that, because I didn't want to miss a scene, and, like, just kind of, like, exclaiming in pain, and just dry eye, because I didn't want to miss anything, but.
Yeah, that's tough.
Beautiful game. Play Before Your Eyes, goddamn. The other day, it was $2 on, like, Fanatical or something.
Wow!
Fucking
hashtag worth it. Shoot.
So yeah, that's Tribeca. Tribeca Games, at least. A Ranger, a Role Puzzling Adventure, Blueprints, Dark Web Streamer, Goodnight Universe, Neva, Skate Story, and Thank Goodness You're Here. Again, as we kicked off the conversation, stellar year.
Yeah, bangers.
Probably the strongest so far, I would say.
Yeah, I don't think we said when it takes place. It's from June 12th through 16th.
It is June 5th to 16th.
Well, I think that's the festival as a whole.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Gotcha. I was like,
so like, if you want to go to Pier 57, it's the 12th through the 16th.
Yeah. So Pier 57, the room is called the Living Room. It's a Tribeca Games gallery, free and open to the public, June 12th to June 16th. If you go to TribecaFilm.com, just navigate to the game section and you can see like there's hours of operation, stuff like that. Again, free of the public. If you're in New York or in the tri-state area, go, please go check it out. Support these games. Talk to the devs. Great opportunity to go hands-on and get a extra look at some really special experiences coming down the pipeline. Oh, I nailed it. It is Chantel for Dark Web Streamer. I didn't realize her name was on the website. That would be
Chantel.
Sorry, Harry.
That's a French word.
Yeah,
I think
it is. It is.
Oui.
Matt, before we get into our little side topic of just doing a little May overview.
Yeah.
You reviewed Surmount.
Yeah, I did.
Tell me about it a little bit. Of course, people can go read your review for the full thoughts, but like, yeah. Tell me about it.
Absolutely delightful game. Frustrating as all hell. So I'm not sure if like you guys have seen like any of the streamers playing like that climbing game that's been making a waves where like mouse click left hand right hand.
I think it's literally called like a game about climbing, right?
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So like if you know Getting Over It, there's a few others. Mm. It's in that vein, but fair. So like you're able to like hold and swing yourself up higher. There's a lot more forgiving moments in there, so you can hook onto things. So if you do lose your grip, like you can dangle, regain your stamina because you have stamina a lot, like kind of like Breath of the Wild climbing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's that last area will let you activate those accessibility options and let you get through it.
It's nice that they offer that.
Yes, yeah, and it doesn't interact or interrupt trophies, or it's not on PlayStation, but like achievements on Steam. So,
right,
however much or little you want to use them guilt free.
Hell yeah! Runtime on it. I know you said there was what, 4 areas in the game. I'm assuming it didn't take you that long.
Well, I did use those accessibility options, of course. Yeah, just because I didn't have too long to get through the game. But I would say runtime without using those, probably 20, 25 hours.
That's a lot.
20, 25?
Yeah, because there's a lot of expeditions too that are like handcrafted levels that aren't procedurally generated. And some of those are races and some of them objectives. So, yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot. It's a meaty game.
Nice. Excuse me one moment. Cat, stop biting plastic.
Oh, kitty cat.
Get out of here. Jesus, that's why I turned around when you mentioned the hours.
Oh, kitty cat.
Cool. Yeah, I literally made my character, and that's about it so far. The character creator, even from the get-go, fantastic.
It's awesome. It reminds me of Mii's so much.
Exactly. It feels like a modern Mii, but like a lot more, I don't know, a lot more fluid, I guess, if you want to call it that, a lot more options. Like, it feels like you could really get into the weeds.
I mean, you can't really like scrunch and the stretch and do all that stuff like you can with Mii's, but I do like all the different clothing options and stuff.
That's fun.
Because Mii's definitely don't have that.
No, they're just blue or purple.
Mii's don't have like frog hats, or let me make myself be Luffy.
But Street Pass did, and that was great. RIP. Yeah. Actually, no, it's not RIP. It's still existing, but.
No, I think it's done.
No, Street Pass is never, that's not part of the internet of it.
Right.
Or the servers.
You can still use Street Pass.
Yeah, it's that. More. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's fun. Bring your 2 packs.
And yeah, in case you missed it, the last episode that you got double episodes last week, but the last episode was the full kind of review discussion for Another Crab's Treasure. I am currently like 5 hours into it on PlayStation now, because I Matt, you know me with these Souls likes. You beat it, nothing else clicks. There's so much that we're playing behind the scenes. All I want to play is this goddamn crab game. I love this game so much. It exceeding expectations. I'm very excited for you to play it now that it's out now. Harry, are you interested in crab game? Because you're a new Souls boy.
I am, but I'm still working on Elden Ring. I want to get that done before June.
That's fair. But yeah, Matt, we talked about this in the main review discussion, but same. I don't think I distinctly clarified all the assist options in Another Crab's Treasure. If you want to shoot your way through that game with the goddamn Glock, you'll get all the achievements. You're fine.
Good. Awesome.
Good.
Man,
I'm totally on the side of accessibility.
Just don't lock achievements and stuff. It's fine. Like, just let people play the game how you want. The assist mode in that game is fan-fucking-tastic. Good. It's like the gold standard of, like, at least it's setting the bar of, like, what these games should present moving forward. Mm-hmm. Matt, I'm really excited for you to jump in. Or both of you. I'm really excited for
eventually, you to jump in. I'm back on that Final Fantasy 14 bullshit, so.
Yeah, there's so many games.
Speaking of so many games, let's do a quick May recap, because May is a nightmare at the moment in a great way. May is, you know,
it is a busy time.
It's a busy, busy, busy time.
Mother's Day, brother's birthday, Al's birthday.
Yep, that's what we're talking about. We talked about this on the latest Indie Council, but to provide some context as to why you could speculate May is so busy, there's a few reasons. A lot of indie games probably want to get out of the way of summer event season. So May seems like the final horizon, unless you want to wait until July. But then July, you start talking about Gamescom planning and stuff, and there's Steam events, whatever. Speaking of Steam events, some of these games may want to tie to Steam events. The next big one coming is, and it's not technically a Valve event, but the next big digital event is Ludonarikon, which starts, I think, May 7th off the top of my mind. Or maybe the week after that. So that's a big reason. And obviously a lot there. It's being a narrative game or having a game with a story is a pretty wide net. So if games are out or releasing around there, they want to be included in that festival or you know, get some extra eyes because it's all about the Steam algorithm. You're always playing with Steam algorithm.
Better than the YouTube algorithm.
Sure. Better than the YouTube algorithm. Go subscribe on youtube.com/61indie. And of course, June on top of all the summer events is also Next Fest. Next Fest ramp up starts happening mid-May. So people want to get out of the Next Fest wave. It's not great. So release your game around Next Fest or around even the summer sale and stuff like that. So a couple of reasons why May may be a reason behind all these indie releases, including, sorry, somebody says something.
Nah, I was chucking at the joke.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate you. Speaking or including, that was the word I used. Slash coming to consoles.
Hey.
Which I have to put more time into. Slash, very good. Indica, May 2nd.
Yes.
Very excited. Surmount, May 2nd.
Yes.
Whoa. I thought it was coming out today.
I know.
That's a long embargo period. Yeah, hell yeah. Good for them. Yep.
Venture to the Vile, May 7th. Mm. Heading Out, May 7th, which Heading Out, every time I mention it, a lot of hype during its PAX East demo.
Oh, yeah.
I am unfamiliar with the game. Harry, did you get to play it during PAX?
Sounds
familiar. No, there was a consistent line, and it was just a busy time. But it was one of the ones where I kept looking back, and then there was like a four-person deep line for it looked pretty meaty of a...
Yeah.
Of a demo. So I'm like, all right, I don't think I can push my way into be like, but I want to see it. So I let the people who are waiting like enjoy. But it's coming out.
You're a man of the people.
Yeah. There's also too many games, not enough time.
Yeah. May 9th, Gift, which I know Becca's really excited for. Not indie, but May 9th, Pac-Man, Mega Tunnel, Battle, Chomp Champs. That's coming.
What a wild name.
Is that a translation error?
Let me say that again. Pac-Man Mega Tunnel Battle : Chomp Champs.
My God, that's real.
Pac-Man Mega Tunnel Battle Chomp Champs is an online only Pac-Man eating competition. Eat your way through multiple interconnected mazes using power pellets and a variety of power items to chomp the ghosts and opponent Pac-Man players. Be the last pack standing at the end of each maze in the 64 player battle royale to be the chomp champ.
Yeah, I'm good.
My God.
Now we hopping in.
If it was championship rules, I'd be in it because those games rules.
Also, May 9th, as I drop my bottle, Vampire Survivors Operation Guns. This is the Contra DLC coming to Vampire Survivors.
Oh, yeah.
May 9th, Little Kid in Big City.
I mean,
May 9th, Crow Country. Yes. May 9th, Corpo Nation coming to console. May 9th, Thousand Time Resist. May 9th, Animal Well.
Oh my God.
That's it for May 9th as far as like highlights go.
Until next week happens.
You need a cloning machine.
May 14th, again, what is an indie game? The Rogue, Prince of Persia. I know. Yeah, whatever. May 15th, Mullet Madjack. May 15th, Baladins. May 16th, Read Only Memories, Neurodriver.
Damn.
Oh, shit. That didn't come out yet.
May 16th, Lorelei and the Laser Eyes.
Come on.
May 21st, Paper Trail. May 21st, again, not exactly indie, whatever. May 21st, Senua Saga Hellblade 2.
May 22nd. Has a release date.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, 5 years after it was announced.
May 23rd, World of Goo 2. May 23rd, Haunted.
Shit!
May 23rd, Duck Detective.
Damn!
What else? There's more. Don't worry. They're coming.
No!
The Secret Salami. Ooh, boy.
So stoked for it, dude.
I forgot this existed. Oh.
And probably the last. Oh, no, that isn't even the last old one. Sometime in May, Crystalla is coming to early access.
Ooh.
And then finally, May 29th, Nine Souls.
Whoa. Damn.
That's May, and that's just like our personal highlights, I would say. There's other
it's
shit.
Be the summer.
Like V Rising's like, coming to consoles. There's a Valheim thing I saw. I scrolled by. Like there's
also let's have Ball a roll to temper expectations. Nine Souls. It says coming soon on Steam. So maybe that's a placeholder.
Oh, did they switch it?
I don't know.
Oh shit!
I'm not aware. Nine Souls release date. Because I'm like, Wikipedia says November to the 29th.
But they definitely announced May 29th.
Game. They point. Said Q1 2024.
On March 28th, they said the Nine Souls release date reveal.
March, yeah. Interesting.
Maybe they just didn't update it. Hopefully they just didn't update it on Steam because that's, yeah, that's the latest blog entry.
Yeah, Steam.
It was only
page.
A month ago. So.
Yeah, and it links it to Steam, but then it doesn't show May 29th.
Hmm. Yeah, maybe they just didn't update it. Nine Candle Games, they run a tight ship over there. Hopefully, yeah. You know. Just a oversight on Steam. Man, I can't wait for fucking Nine Souls.
Yeah, too. So what I will say is in the news, in Steam, it says May 29th. So it's
okay.
Yeah, it so seems yeah, resolved.
Yeah.
It looks so good.
Any, what's, if you're going to pick one from May?
I mean.
You got one?
I know what I'm going to say.
Located Big City?
Of course. The one? Come on there. Yeah. Get out of here.
Matt, you got one?
Besides Surmount, because I have played
sure,
that.
Sure. You got really one excited, out of the way.
Right? Really excited for Baladins. Love the demo. I've never played Dungeons & Dragons, so like that was a lot of fun.
Hell yeah. Nine Souls for me.
Yeah, for sure.
That's the one.
Yeah.
Very excited for Crow Country. Very excited for
All
the games I mentioned, but Nine Souls is the one. I didn't properly prepare this week in indie because I forgot, but I'm going to give you the loose one. All right. You're not going to get any of the descriptions. You're not going to get any of the consoles or the whatever. You're going to get names and dates. And we're going to do this at the seat of our pants from this is this week in indie from April 29th to May 3rd. Can you believe next week is May?
I can. Shit. I'm excited for it to be June.
Shouting out Mark of the Deep. They're having a playtest. This is Soulsy Metroidvania pirate themed. I tried to play it during NextFest. It didn't work great on Steam Deck, so I'm going to check out this playtest. Playtests now, courtesy of Hades, it seems like. Playtests seem to be the new hotness from Steam. April 30th, Loop Hero is coming to mobile. Dangerous.
Nice. That's awesome.
Dangerous. Scrolling through the list, looking for things. But who knows? I can't see much. Yes, like I said, May 2nd, Slash, May 2nd, Indica, May 2nd, Surmount. That seems to be the highlights for the week. So
I mean, that's a stacked week right there.
Big fucking week. And I mean, a big fucking day.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, what is May 9th?
What is May 9th? Who's to say? Oh, and of course, I forgot to mention... by the time the public is listening to this, there is an ID at Xbox show also. This coming week, we're going to get news on 33 Immortals, Lost Records, I think some Vampire Survivor stuff. Keep on rolling. They keep
rolling,
on coming.
Rolling.
But none of them can light a candle to the 6-1 Indie Showcase, you know what I'm saying? So by the time you're listening to this publicly, tune in to, keep your eyes peeled on socials, on 6-1indie.com, all that good stuff. Got some news to share.
Yes.
Whoop, world premiere. All right, y'all. Thank you so much for listening to episode 188 of the 6-1 IndieCast. We love you dearly. Like I said, 6-1indie.com. Get your links for everywhere. Go check out some of those articles that the team have been pumping out there. It's a busy time of the year. Yeah. We all do this for the love of it. We don't get paid to do this. So go check it out. Give the site a click. Share things around. We'd appreciate it greatly. The other thing I forgot to mention, we're trying to do better with putting out gameplay videos on the YouTube as well. So today, since the embargo lifted for gameplay, me, Matt, and Kyle sat down to play through what I thought was an optional boss for another Crab's Treasure. And it turned into Mike spiraling because he skipped a tutorial 15 hours into the game. So go check that out. And please subscribe to youtube.com/6-1indie. Like the videos, leave a comment. Treat the algorithm with all your bliss. We'll catch you next week. Thanks so much for listening. Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.